For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Diamonds in my teeth, I got a lot of shine. Running up the number, that's a lot of crime. If you try to take it from me, must be out your mind. I keep playing, lot of sun. Smokey in the air, that's a lot of pine. Pockets running over with the dollar sign.
Welcome to episode 321 of 4th and John. I'm Dale Saunders here with Evan Hollywood Hearn and Mr. Primo 12-1 Concepcion. I'm talking about vibes. The vibes are incredibly high. I found myself at moments of the day and after leaving the stadium, just whispering to myself, damn, we're 12-1. It was starting off the day. It was a great day as I woke up at 4 o'clock in the morning. Knowing we had a packed car, me and Prime had packed the truck the night before. We were so I don't know why we were more excited about this trip than many trips that we go on. But there was the little kids in us were excited to reach MetLife Stadium at 9 o'clock in the morning or 8 o'clock in the morning. It was freezing cold, but the vibes were right. I felt like overall it started early in the day and it just continued into the game. I'm trying to do a little storytelling here, but as we arrived to the game, there was like OG Giant fans sitting around us. I felt like New Yorkers had this whole different vibe about them and their Giants, and they're proud of what they've done over the last couple of weeks. But as soon as their Giants started getting their asses kicked in the first quarter, I'm saying the first quarter. These are OG Giant fans who were leaving in the first quarter, which followed up by other Giant fans leaving in the third quarter. So talk about fan bases. Talk amongst yourselves, Giants fans, because you guys are on blast right now. The Eagle fans have stuck around all the way to the very end to give out MVP chance to Jalen Hurts. The energy was there all around the field. At the end of the fourth quarter, it was nothing but Eagle fans in that stands. And shout out to Jesse Wines, who got an opportunity to run across the Giants field and yell, go Birds. Everyone in that stadium had a moment, if you're an Eagles fan. How are you guys feeling?
It's hard to follow that up, Gil. But I'm going to give you my perspective. I'm going to give you my perspective from a man who sat on his couch in his living room at home and watched this all play out. Dude, it felt like the divine football gods were talking to us yesterday, if I'm being real with you. First of all, I just want to put it out there. It's complete nonsense and silliness, but it was something that I noticed yesterday. 41-yard reception for touchdown from Devontae Smith, 33-yard reception for A.J. Brown. It's almost like the football gods are trying to tell us something. What does 41-33 mean to Eagles fans? You know what it means. It means Eagles Super Bowl. But beyond that, it's well beyond just noticing coincidental numbers. It's overall dominance. I am sitting here, and I am 28 years old. I haven't seen a bunch of Eagles regimes, but I have to tell you, man, I cannot think of a more complete Eagles team that I've ever seen. I'm even including the 2017 Super Bowl winners, man. Just from every single position, I have never seen a team firing on all cylinders, a team that is just so deep on the defensive line. The offensive line is completely dominant. The quarterback play, I don't know if we've ever had a quarterback play like this in Philadelphia history. I mean, I spent my day today going down Randall Cunningham's stats. and I was comparing him to the late great, or not late, but the great Randall Cunningham. And I don't think Randall even ever did anything like this, man. I don't know if there is an Eagles quarterback you can name that is having a year like Jalen Hurts is having right now. So, dude, I don't know why we're not talking about SBs right now, because that's exactly where my head's at.
Bro, let me just say, this is definitely one that I was circling on the calendar because it was a divisional game. And going back to last year, being in that building, catching the L the way we did because we had a sloppy-ass baby crying, couldn't man up type receiver that ended up disappointing us because two easy catches that pretty much were right in his hands, he ended up dropping, giving us the L. Seeing Jalen Hurts crunched over in disappointment, Jordan Mulata kind of like, you know, giving him some sympathy and everything. Anyway, walking out of there last year, hearing those fans disrespecting us, I mean, really, really disrespecting us. And it was tough. It was a long ride home. It was a long walk back to the vehicle last year. So circling that game on this schedule for this year, it was all about redemption. It was all about retribution. It was all about retaliation. It was all about getting even. And let me tell you something, my boys did me proud yesterday because we did all of that. That ass whooping was what we asked for, and it's what we got. It was a statement game. We said it on last week's show on Thursday. This game needed to be the statement game, and by God, did they make a statement yesterday. I'm not going to say that the score was 48-22. I'm going to say that score was 48-14 because that last touchdown was bullshit. All right? It was those trash-ass yards just to get that touchdown. Y'all got y'all asses handed to them. And Gail pointed out, those fans left early. By the second quarter, they couldn't handle us. Man, listen, as soon as I got into those seats, one, I already told the guy, you're sitting in the wrong seat. And the guy was like, I'm a season ticket holder.
I'm a season ticket holder.
Now you telling me I'm in the wrong seat? And I was like, yo, turn around. What seat you supposed to be in? He was like, 22. Well, you're in 20. So I don't care how much of a season ticket holder you're in. You're in the wrong seat. I mean, that started off. Then I got an old school. I got an old school behind me. You know what I mean? Pretty much giving me shit. And I respected him because it's his stadium. He's a sissy ticket holder. You know what I mean? Okay, no problem. Then I got one that's in front of me that was really ass tight. He couldn't stand us Eagles fans for shit, calling us slums and everything. Man, listen, they could not handle my mouth because I wasn't staying shut. I was talking shit the whole time. And even as those fans that left by the second quarter, I literally went to the other side and was like, where the fuck are y'all going? This game ain't over. This ass whooping is not done. Get back here. Come and see this shit. Because this is exactly what I got last year. And y'all going to stay here to get this shit this year because this is our year. Oh, man, it was the best, man. But, yeah, bro, it was a great feeling getting out of that place with that W, with that ass whooping, and being able to talk shit the way we did yesterday. I'm thrilled. I'm happy. I mean, I'm satisfied. What up, Tank?
What's up, y'all? How y'all doing? I was up there. I got to see. I looked at Gil's text when he's like they were leaving the first quarter already. He was correct because I was in the parking lot. where we tailgated at, they had me a VIP cigar lounge set up, and then I was watching on the 40-inch TV. And when we went up, you know, you can see the fireworks coming up and stuff. But when they would score, but it was far and few. But then when we went up like 21-0. Me and the bus driver looked up and he was like, damn, it's a bunch of Giants fans leaving. Yeah, they was leaving early as hell too. And I was like, yeah. And then I was just like, I was looking at the game and I was thinking to myself, hopefully this will be the first time that I'll see what they do to if they keep their foot on the gas. Because a lot of times when we've seen in the past where we don't keep our foot on the gas, they give a team the opportunity, they come back and stuff and something happens. But this wasn't one of those opportunities, and we continued to kick that ass, and I thoroughly enjoyed myself out there with my tequila, and a couple of burgers I had taken from the tailgate, and a baller ass spread of Snickers and Chips Ahoy soft-baked cookies. It was getting provocative out there, didn't it? But it was the one thing that I do I do remember, and it was, Prime, I heard you bring this up, about when Jordan Mulata came up to Jalen Hurts at the end of the game and put his hand on the shoulder and stuff, and that showed me how together this team was. And not only that, I knew that Jalen Hurts was going to be circling this game because they were the Giants. Unbeknownst to a lot of people, the Giants was talking shit that week. They were talking shit. It's one more team that I would like, I noticed on Jalen's list to get back, and it's the Tampa Bay Buccaneers if those motherfuckers make it to the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
But I still like the fact that, I don't know if you guys got a chance to see his press conference afterwards, how he's still talking about getting better and stuff, and he's saying and doing all the right stuff, and that's what you, I like to see that from a team, because there's so many times that I've been part of, or I've seen a team that has this type of talent and ability, and you kind of screw the pooch by not taking everybody seriously. You should never underestimate your opponent. They should say, why you kick the ass like that? And they should say that every motherfucking time. You don't give nobody a chance to whoop your ass. It's like, yeah, if you can win every time, do it. Yeah. And if somebody beats you, they truly beat you. Don't let it be because you got complacent. You underestimated your opponent. You didn't do shit like you were supposed to. I couldn't do nothing but commend the fellas. I was happy as a motherfucker. Because last time when I watched the game, I was pissed from last year. That totally pissed me off just the way we lost, and it sucks. And I was glad to get that stain off my brain. So
I agree with you, and I think that one like frame from that game that sticks out to me is after the Eagles go up 3-0, and you look at the wide receivers on the bench and they're just having the time of their lives, and you see Jalen Hurts locked in, not a smile on his face, nothing. He is just waiting to get it back out on the field. This dude is just on a different level, both physically and mentally this year.
Yeah, you watched the show last week, didn't you, Ev?
Yeah.
You remember when Gail had pulled up a t-shirt about what Hurts, and I felt like it's a couple of guys that are on the show, you and Prime, that should go and get those t-shirts and prominently wear them.
All right, well, I'll get that as soon as you get a I'm sorry, Gannon shirt.
All right, what am I going to get? I'm sorry.
12-1.
We are 12-1, and we're. I'm not going to get a.
We might have four defensive linemen with 10 sacks this year. Is that?
Yes, it's not because
it's
of him.
In spite of Jonathan Gannon.
It's always in spite of Jonathan Gannon. It is.
I know.
Do this for me. Then yeah. you name me somebody on the Giants team, the Giants receiving corps that's got more than 40 receptions. I'll wait.
I mean, nobody. That team's fucking trash.
Okay. So, right. You did. I'm not kissing the overrated loser's ass. You did what you was fucking supposed
what about,
to do.
What about all the other 11 wins? What about
that? Are you kidding me? Go look at how many 10-play drives we've given up. Go look at that.
Look at how many, okay. Look at how many losses this, we've this, given up. Go, look how many losses we've given
this
up.
This is the
it's
Eagles.
Where's the wrap it up? Where's the dick check? He started it. Don't think what you thought I was just gonna let you get the jab in.
No. Who's the one that said, Evan? I'm not sure if you saw the T-shirt from last week, but you should be wearing it.
You went, you wearing it.
Yeah, I know. I should be wearing it.
Well, anyway, looking at Todd's comment here, this was their complete game. And talk about three sides of the ball, you know, talk about special teams. You can talk about offense and defense, but just the way that the game started out, just watching, going back, watching the game, just putting a team on notice in different parts of the field. You talk about their bookend tackles who are coming into their own. Yes, they're young tackles, mm-hmm. but our defensive ends, Sweat and Hassan Reddick, put both their offensive tackles on notice. So two of their best offensive linemen shook right off the gate with two sacks given up. You took about the offensive drive where 14 plays, just run it down their throats. I mean, down the field. Seven different weapons of Jalen Hurts touched the ball. I mean, those kind of statements early in the game, they set the tone early. I mean, let's talk about our game ball. Who do you really want to give out the game ball to? I mean, there's a lot of talent out there.
I told you who the game ball went to last show, Booby. I told you that last show. As I told you, he was going to come out, and this is going to be one of them statement games. And you see how he hit the, hole and was down the field. And then when he was able to get one, he just took it. It put it this way: if they had that fear in their head, but it's like you could always give it to Jalen Hurts. But this was one of his breakout games. He just took this one over. He did everything that I was hoping he did when we first drafted him. He's coming into his own. He's actually grown up. So,
my turn, Evan. Yeah, Evan, put some respect on that name, boy. I told you. Now we'll get you a shirt. I love Booby.
Ev, you're going to be wearing a lot of shirts, apparently.
I've been layered up, bro.
No, all jokes aside, I mean, seeing it live yesterday, bro, watching him as soon as the play would go off, him waiting for his blocks. The minute those blocks started happening, he saw the window, he saw it open up, and he was gone. He put the jet on that one play that he ended up getting, so like what was like 40, 41 yards or something like that, the touchdown run. I mean, bro, it was like, holy shit, where the fuck is this Booby been at? Like, it's crazy. But it was exciting to see, man. And yo, he was just as much locked in, having a little bit more fun than what you saw Jalen. But he was locked in. He was explosive yesterday. They couldn't stop him. And he did everything correctly and right, man. And look at the outcome of it. Ended up getting 144 yards. Bro, again, that and what's that? I think that's back-to-back games. Is that back-to-back games? Am I right?
No, not back-to-back games. Huh? He had back-to-back two touchdown games.
Oh, I'm sorry. Last week he had 24. It was two games ago he had the 144. Yeah. My bad.
Right. But he has a clip of 1,000 yards. I want to say for the first time in his career. I think.
Yeah,
it was.
We're hitting all sorts of milestones. Just that past game, we have. I'm pretty sure Jalen Hurts, Miles Sanders both have 10 rushing touchdowns. AJ Brown has 10 receiving touchdowns. AJ has 1,000 receiving yards. Miles has 1,000 rushing yards. These are all things that we have been longing for since 2014. And the fact that they're finally happening, I don't give a shit. I got to wear a shirt. I'll wear the freaking shirt, bro. I'm happy that
Come
it's
on, happening. Skip Bayless. Come on, Skip Bayless.
I don't think your hearing comprehension's working, Tank. I'm agreeing with y'all.
I know you would wear the shirt proudly. But if I have to wear a Jonathan Gannon shirt, it should say featuring Vic Fangio. Okay. In your face.
We should make that shirt. So Ev gave a MVP to – did you give an MVP to Sanders?
I didn't give an MVP, but I would give it to Sanders.
Who'd you think it was, Ev?
I would give it to Miles Sanders, but if you guys are all giving it to Miles Sanders just for the sake of breaking a trend, I would go with Jalen Hurts, but I think they're both deserving. They both played phenomenal yesterday.
I'm going to give it to Miles Sanders, just because, I mean, since 2014, man, sometimes I hate hearing stats. The 2014 LeSean McCoy one is one. The other one was the Jeremy Maclin 2014, like, 1,000. Like, I'm finally glad that we can put those to rest and say, it's Booby's Miles Sanders and it's AJ Brown.
I got another one for you. Isn't Hassan Reddick the first 10 sack guy since Michael Bennett?
Sounds about right.
2018-ish, Michael Bennett.
Man.
I mean, we're talking about sacks. We might as well just move right into the defensive MVP. And I think
on the Hassan Reddick, he's the first player in one of the first players in history with 10 sacks in 3 seasons with 3 different squads.
Correct.
I mean, but there's another guy. If I'm going to start off here, BG talking about that old man strength that I warned you guys about. What I was hearing when we went to that Trent Cole camp, and BG saying he felt the best he's ever felt in a long time, and he's out there against, I feel bad for any younger offensive lineman that goes against Brandon Graham. I'm like, there's the amount of knowledge this guy has, and the amount of tools and trickery, he puts these guys on notice. I mean, talking about 3 sacks. The beat writers had asked him, like, they talk about that 3-sack game. I think it was the Jets, Luke Fat game. He came up 3 sacks. He's like, I need to get back there and get that again. So here he comes back against the Giants and gets a 3-sack game. I mean, and at his age, that's an older dude doing those kind of things. So, I mean, that tip.
Absolutely. Too, on top of that, he had the forced fumble just as well. So
yeah,
he was definitely having a game yesterday.
Yeah, and then, you know, the one thing that I'm seeing with them bringing a little bit of young and old in here, I think he's having a quality influence on Milton Williams too. You saw Milton Williams a bunch of times. He actually had a sack, and I want to say a tackle. I think he had two sacks, or a sack and a tackle for loss. But he was making his presence felt early and often. It wasn't just at garbage time. And I know that BG had took him under his wing, and I know he was proud of that too. But just to see the way that our defensive line is being deployed, and this is how you build a championship team is through both lines. If you guys got a chance to look at before the game, the interviews for the defensive coordinator and Brian Daboll, they were pretty much scared the entire fucking game. and it was before the game. When they were talking to Martelli, he was like, they started naming off the receivers, and then he's like, don't forget about the running back. And so it's like when you hear coaches giving you those kind of concessions before the game, and they already know, and it's like it's nothing they can do. But then you go out and you actually do it, because a lot of times, how many times have we been in April and May during free agency, and a team and somebody builds a team on paper that looks like a juggernaut, and they go out there and basically just screw the pooch. Yep. This is the one time that we won, not only at the beginning of the season and free agency, and we start winning in October. Now, it's one more step to this, and that's winning in January and February. It's like we've almost come full circle for the first time in quite some time. So but it's great to see BG coming, especially coming off that injury as bad as it was, and to see that he still has the power. But I think the way that they've built both lines has given him the opportunity to do that, because if he's taking 70 plays, he's not playing like that. So I commend them the way that things are flowing. Big fans, yo.
So do we have a Brandon Graham all around defensive MVP this week?
Yes, sir. Yeah,
man, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, you can Walter Payton, he's supposed to be out Walter Payton
candidate.
So
oh yeah, like, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so yeah. It's like he all around, he found out that this week, and plus you go out there, you kick ass and take names. Man.
He's having himself a time. But I also want to talk about, different from the offensive and defensive MVP. Can we just address that the special teams these past few weeks? Completely different. Like it's night and day.
What do you think it is? Hold on. Because I was going to say it's one guy that they brought up for practice squad again two games ago, number 53, Ellis.
Yes, Noah Ellis. Yeah. No, I know exactly what you're talking about. Yep.
Okay. I was going to say we're on the same page, because since they brought him up from the practice squad, he's had about seven tackles on special teams, and not just seven
flying
tackles.
Flying down the field.
You know those woo licks. Everybody's like, what's a woo lick? That's when somebody hits somebody, and everybody in the crowd like, ooh. So he had one this week, too.
I think the special teams has been just on fire the past few weeks. So we've been pinning teams deep, and Noah Ellis has been getting down there so the guys can't return. And then I think Britton Covey has turned it on, man, the past few weeks. Yeah. He's been putting us in a good position with good start and field position. I got to give a shout-out to my man Aaron Sipos. He gave a hell of an effort to get first down.
Yes, he
almost,
did.
Almost got it.
Had he got that first down, that could have been the play of the day. I mean, that was an athletic-ass play for a punter.
Am I the only one that's seen Brandon Covey's wife's TikTok?
Oh, I seen it.
Oh, disrespectful. That was disrespectful.
I didn't see it.
That guy. Yeah, when you see it, you just go crap. I was like, seriously?
This guy.
It's outright disrespectful.
Yeah. I think the guys from the locker room got to take him out and show him his options.
Yeah, but going back to your comment about special teams, Pascal had a comment. He had a quote. He says, you hear rumors and stuff about how special teams is the worst. I said we actually had a couple players only meetings, which were called by Sean Bradley, and he said that we're gonna lock in, gonna make some plays, because it ain't coach out there, it's us out there. We got to go out there and make some plays. And ever since the past two games, we've been making some sparks. So just talk about those sparks. You talk about Ellis. You talk about Covey. You talk about Boston Scott, who's had some electric returns and really being decisive out there when he's hitting those holes. Mm-hmm. So can we just great field position.
Can we just talk about, too, I think Boston Scott might hate the Giants more than any of us, bro. Boston Scott straps up for the Giants like he is going to war.
I agree with you, bro.
Boston Scott has 16 career touchdowns. He has 9 versus the Giants.
He hates the Giants.
9.
Bro. He hates them.
That's crazy.
That's like when
and he didn't one yesterday. Like that's not even counting yesterday. Yeah.
He had one last year. He had one yesterday.
That's like a trip.
Oh, yeah, at the end of the game. That's right.
When everybody we talk about, like, I have 20 career sacks. 4 of them on Trent Green when he was with the Redskins. He was so easy to catch.
Speaking of special teams as well, you know, Sipos, you know, injured his ankle.
Yeah.
We have brought in Brett Kern. Actually, the Eagles signed Brett Kern.
Yeah, they signed Brett. He's a 3-time All-Pro. Go ahead. My bad. Sorry.
And then we also another guy that we've been pumping up. Everyone's been pumping up is Reed Blankenship. He's dealing with a low-grade knee sprain. It's a short-term injury, according to Mike Garofalo's source.
Yeah.
So the fact that Anthony Harris is in for a visit as well, former Eagles veteran safety. I love the pickup. We bring him in.
It goes twofold. He knows the system and stuff, so it wouldn't be a lot of verbiage going over. So you probably will only have to have him on practice squad for like a week or so you get it back up to speed. It's a quality pickup because you don't have. It's like sometimes when you go get a guy, but he's not your guy. As long as he's in shape, everybody thinks that you can just insert him. But he has to learn all the verbiage, and he has to build some continuity with the rest of the guys on the squad.
I agree. I think that him already knowing the system is definitely a big help. I just – like, I don't want to be sitting here like I'm over the moon about the whole situation. Obviously, we needed a hold to fill. We needed to go get somebody.
Right.
But the way that I look at it, like, Anthony Harris – like, all these people that think that, like, Anthony Harris is going to be some sort of saving grace, there's a reason that he was let go from the team in the first place. He's past his prime, man. Like,
but he has to – he actually asked to be let go.
He asked to be released. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I would have asked had he not. He wasn't playing well.
Well, they let him go. They let him go truly because the other guy, you're paying the other guys less. It's a young guy. He's not going to get any experience while Anthony Harris is here. And he got an opportunity to go somewhere. He got an opportunity to go somewhere else, which was cool. But, you know, when you don't burn any bridges, basically. You don't be the Evan Hearns's and say, hey, you suck anyway. Can you come back and play for us now? That's why you don't burn bridges. You like you respectfully part ways.
Let me write that one down.
Maybe down the line.
And don't ask about the medicals. You'll never get cut off.
You're gonna ask the medicals. Ask Dallas Cowboys and OBJ. Now they signed T.Y. Hilton.
That's fine too. That dude's washed.
You're right on that one. He wasn't even playing. I don't know why sometimes when I look at the different social media places, the sports media places, they're also enamored by a motherfucker who hasn't played all season. I don't know why. Yeah. He's not going to do anything for you. He'll come in there and be like, oh, he wasn't ready. Durr.
I mean,
if we're not on the field.
Yeah. I mean, if we're going to talk medicals, I mean, that's someone's medicals. We should talk about OBJ because check the medicals out. Talking about just calling out some moments. If any, you guys have moments that you want to call out during the game, I think at the end of the game, when Hurts was walking off the field and like all the Eagle fans that were left in the fourth quarter that just stayed because they were thoroughly enjoying the ass whooping. Shout out to Prime. We were sitting there. I was like, yo, we got to get over to that section right there and just mingle in that area because the energy was so live. And then he's walking off, and then, you know, he's got the cape on. He's almost like superhero-esque. And then the chants got louder and louder and louder. And then it's funny because I was like I came across. It was a fan-sided website they took my tweet of when Jalen was walking off the field and the MVP chant started. Giants fans in this article, they're so pissed off that they're like, you Giant fans who sold your tickets to the Philly fans to hear them chant about
Jalen Hurts MVP chance, you guys should be ashamed of yourself. But it was a nice moment because I felt like he usually lets it out at the end of the game, a big yell and scream, and then the MVP chance over top. I thought it was a nice moment.
Yeah, that was pretty sweet. Actually seeing that, because this is the one place that I felt like as a fan base that we hadn't took over yet. And I think we accomplished that this week. I think the team helped us accomplish that, because when we went up 21-0, if you could have been sitting, like I was sitting on the TV sitting there, so all of a sudden me and the bus driver, we had a nice TV sitting there, but we could see the stadium to our left. So all of a sudden you just look up and you just see a bunch of just people wearing blue and white and red. Coming, they're running to their car. He's like, "Is it something that we missed?" And it's like, then they just kept on pouring out. And with each score, more and more people was pouring out. You talk about how it was a fucking riot out there. And to hear, like, we had the TV on when they was leaving off the field, and this will kill you too. And so we heard the MVP chants. So I was looking at my phone, and a friend of mine, she's probably watching. Happy birthday, Donnie. She was watching the game from St. Louis. They said, "We're going to switch to a game that's more competitive." So, dude, when she texted me, I was fucking dying. She's like,
awesome.
"She's like, I don't." She's like, "They just said we're gonna go to a contest that's more competitive."
It was a shit show for those fans yesterday, man. Yeah. And I'm glad
that we could finally put one thing to rest, because it's something that I've been feeling all year long, and it's that this Giants team is fucking flimsy, man. Like, they had that 7-1 start, exactly. They were riding so high, and I'm like, dude, this team is not good. It's not a good team. And everyone was pointing at the Eagles, you guys have had such an easy schedule, blah, 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 freaking blah. Dude, this Giants team fucking sucks.
I kept receipts from a lot of social media pages where people were talking about how Jalen Hurst sucks, wasn't going to do shit for us. We all agree on the Cowboys suck. We all agree on that the Commanders suck. And then it was you Giants fans swearing y'all were going to go ahead and be on top. You know what I mean? You started off good, and I was just sitting back letting y'all have y'all time. But when reality kicked in, and it keeps kicking in, because, I mean, you guys went from 7-1 to now being what?
Seven, five, and one.
It was like 1-4-1 since they went 6-1.
It's 0-5-1 since they seven. And the funniest thing, though, is like what Prime was saying was with all that crap, I literally was doing an interview before the game, and I was getting argued up and down that Daniel Jones is a good quarterback. I said, dude, I had to break it down to him in layman's terms. I was like, if the first words out of your mouth when you're describing the quarterback is about weapons that he needs, that quarterback truly sucks. He's a manager. I'm just saying, I've seen quarterbacks who are truly good quarterbacks work with less. I've seen receivers. Put it this way. How did the fact Larry Fitzgerald became one of the greatest receivers ever? He's never had a really good quarterback. He had Kurt Warner once. That's it. Have you seen the shit that he was working with? Yeah. I was like, so if Jake you could play. Thank you. If you could play, then you will get some games winning. And when you make concessions for guys, he got drafted at the 6th overall pick in the draft that he was drafted. If you saw some of the true Giants fans, they were pissed.
Yep.
And I was laughing the whole time when they made the pick, because the moment they made the pick, a lot of people too young, every year too young to know who Dave Brown was. Dave Brown was a first-round pick in the supplemental draft by the Giants and Dan Reeves out of the University of Duke, and he sucked ass as well. If Daniel Jones is so good, why haven't they picked up his fifth-year option?
Yeah, they're not going to pick it up, and they already announced that shit. He's booty, man. And I'm having a conversation with some of these fans yesterday. They were quick to go ahead and admit, you know, true fans, they can admit. Like, look, man, like, I agree with them. They have a good team. The coach has a good instinct on what he wants to go ahead and bring to this organization, and I respect that. I respect what he's doing, but Daniel Jones is not going to lead you to the promised land, and they know that. At least these guys did yesterday. Then you got those certain ones that swear this man was going to go ahead and get in another Super Bowl, this and that. And look, None of those guys are nowhere to be found now. Daniel Jones sucked, man.
Can I just say, I saw
that one big play that they got all happy about. And then I even laughed when they scored a touchdown and the fireworks came out. I was like, for real? I even asked them, oh, so now you guys got a reason to stay? And they were like, yeah, well, you know what I mean? 30 years I've been here. And now, look, they always find a way to go ahead and keep me here. As soon as that happened, what happens? Boston Scott runs it right back. All right. And I was like, all right, I guess you guys are out again. So it was just like that type of day for those guys yesterday.
Can you believe that? I found out yesterday that apparently some Giants fans referred to him as Vanilla Vic. I was like,
that's pretty bad, bro.
shout out to Donnie in the chat.
Yeah,
OG 4th and John fan, but he says, I want to call out and give some flowers to Calcaterra doing a nice job filling in for Dallas. I talk about Calcaterra and you talk about Stowell, whether it be Calcaterra's block that sealed the run for Miles Sanders, or you talk about Stowell out here blocking and making solid catches. You know, it's not super sexy, but it's like two catches apiece, barely solid over the middle. And we're holding down the fort for Dallas. So, I mean, you got to give shout out to the young tight ends doing their thing.
If you just think about how dominant this offense was with Dallas Goedert in there, I was honestly a little bit, I don't want to say nervous because I know how good this offense is, but like I felt like we were going to feel Dallas's absence. And I think that these guys have filled in phenomenally. It's been not much of a transition. Well, yeah, I can't wait to get Dallas back still.
Me and Prime, last week we saw on the show, me and Prime, we hit up on not getting that much production from the tight ends, and we kind of needed that for our offense to get back to being the juggernaut that it was. And I'm glad those guys stepped up because they were doing a great job blocking, but sometimes if they were missing passes there, you know that Dallas would have had. And you don't want to say, damn, Dallas would have had that, because you don't want to. You don't want to shake the young guys' confidence. Right. But I was happy to see them have some success yesterday. Now they can start not only believing in the system, but believing in their self more and be able to make some more quality plays for us down the line.
Mm-hmm.
It was an embarrassment. So this
might
be a Giants fan.
Yeah, this is our resident Giants fan. She was at our tailgate. She was enjoying herself. She's one of our favorite Giants fans overall. Okay. And you know, someone got a cake made for him at the tailgate. I'm just saying. Rolling with Prime?
She
made you a cake?
She made me a cake. She made me a Prime cake yesterday.
That's
shout
great.
Out. Yeah, that was love right there. She's always showing me love when I see her.
Can we talk about the elephant of the room while we're on the topic of the tailgate?
Sure.
I heard you guys had cheesesteaks yesterday.
Oh,
wow.
Man, you know
they did that to you, Evan?
You know what? Wow. Since we're going to go ahead and talk about the elephant in the room.
Other people's meat on my grill?
It was the best cheesesteak I ever had. Okay.
I think I got to find a new podcast.
Wow. Wow, man.
Shout out to Alex, man. Alex held it down for you yesterday. Yeah, the choice was cheesesteak.
Are you going to keep talking about it?
It was good. It was good.
Wow, really? Good, see, no. Thanks for the backhanded confidence. But friends like this, who needs them?
Evan knows the real deal. I called him up yesterday and gave it to him, man. Like, yo, bro.
I'm glad Alex was able to throw down yesterday. Alex always cooks up good food, man. I was just sitting there a little bit nervous on the couch. I'm like, damn, I hope I don't lose my fucking job.
Shout out to Alex and his dad for showing up. And they show up early. They're always ready to go.
I will say they're way better at that than I am. I fucking suck showing up early.
but anytime you do a road tailgate, there's things that can go wrong. You don't know where areas are. You don't know if the security is like going to shut you down the parking lot. But it's always like a nerve wracking experience, but always fun because you never know. You know, you just put out the thing and then people just show up. So we had like a lot of random folks that we had never seen before, just showing up with some folks from Canada, a lot of Canadians coming down to watch the ass whooping.
Yeah.
But just overall, we had a good time, man. Shout out to the gingerbread fellas. Showed up.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they showed up in gingerbread outfits. And then they were sitting right next to Chris, as you know, Chris Nitty with his sign. He's always has the sign out there, 12-1.
I saw it in the Eagles recap video.
What did it say again? What did it say?
Giants thought they something about Giants thought they would win.
They had a shot or something
Yeah, Giants thought they had a shot.
But we knew they did not. Very nice touch. Very nice, nice touch.
That's pretty cool. I did turn some Giants fans. There was a couple of Giants fans about, hey, can I take a picture? Hey, no, I don't fraternize with the enemy before the game. Just have a drink together. No.
Behind enemy lines.
Yeah, we behind enemy lines. I don't fraternize with the enemy. I don't know if you Charlie.
They might. but talking about the game plan for yesterday's tailgate, Gail, we ended up putting a good game plan together. It all came together. So I think that was kind of like the start of the day, man. Like just being able to go ahead and make everything happen the way it did yesterday, and then going right into the game, and you see the Birds put their game plan together, and the outcome was the ass whooping.
I mean, you just segued exactly to where I wanted to go to next too, and that is the game plan, man. Aside from yesterday, like let's just acknowledge like a full year thing here where I feel like, remember how we used to talk with Doug and we would talk about the 15 designed plays at the beginning of the game?
Yes, sir.
Dude, the game plans from Nick Sirianni have been just flawless from beginning to end. Screw the 15 plays at the beginning. The adjustments have been perfect.
They're the other guys.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Stop in and save big money on your next outdoor lumber project now at Menards. Menards has the largest selection of AC2 pressure-treated lumber and decking, and it's easy to load in our outdoor lumber yard. Plus, you can get free estimates fast with our deck design program in-store or on Menards.com. Check out our weekly flyer for more great deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
They're the true offensive coordinators now. You know Nick Sirianni just put that's why I don't know if you weren't here last week when I said I like the fact that when we had to call a timeout early in the last game, Nick Sirianni's like, what the fuck is that? Because he's not because the play caller, the offensive coordinator is a play caller. He felt the pressure last year of being a play caller and trying to be the head coach at the same time. That's why you got one guy as the head coach, so he can pay attention to the game, but you have to pay attention to everything. So I think that's why everything is running smoothly, because he's got somebody he truly trusts. And we have somebody to truly trust, and so it's on them to make the right call. Because if it's all about you, and something happens defensively, and we need a challenge, but you didn't see it, so you're not sure because you know what they're doing something offensively. It's like, who's the head coach then? I feel like he's found a proper balance and somebody he can truly trust. So,
what about the fourth and seven though?
Yeah, that was the perfect call. And then first of all, it was actually not Steichen's call on that. That was Jalen Hurts' call. He audibled out of that into that play. And it was funny during that game when Smitty ran out on that play. I go to Prime. I'm like, look, you're gonna come back. They're gonna come back to this play, and they're gonna run. They're gonna run out and up, and then I was like, please be the out and up. They did the out and up. I was like, and the throw was on. It was on money. I mean, there's a lot of money throws. Like you can go back a lot of plays on third down, but the third and 16, the Quez, and he had a guy right. I'm gonna word it correctly. He was coming down the middle. And the defender was in his face.
Pause.
And then pause. Those are big boy throws. Like the throw was on the money. So like going back to a lot of his throws, they were all very accurate. There's one where Smitty didn't drag his feet on that one. Then the one that Miles Sanders had. So he could have had 300. He could have 300 yards plus for the day. But overall, him checking into that play, he's just like, you know, he looked at Smitty. He's like, we doing it. So,
and the funny thing too is like, you look at it and somebody's like, oh, it's about to be what? The safety took the worst angle possible.
their best player out there in the secondary, Julian. Julian Love. Yeah.
Julian Love. Yeah.
How about their number one wideout, Darius Slayton? Didn't have a catch until 25 seconds into the left in the third quarter. Completely.
I mean, on irrelevant. Top of that, how about in consecutive weeks we held Derrick Henry and Saquon Barkley to under 30 yards or 30 nice. Yards or fewer?
Yeah.
But, I mean, we just have Vic Fangio to thank for that, though. So let's just clear that up.
Yeah.
Is that why you tried to mute my mic because you didn't want me to say Vic Fangio?
No, you're damn crunching of the ice
for the podcast
listeners out there.
Hey, they know I'm a human being. Let's keep this 100. is that what the kids saying nowadays, Evan?
Keep it 100.
I believe that's what the children are saying.
Back in my heyday, we just wanted to keep it authentic.
Stop.
If you're white, you say let's keep it real.
That's what I was going to say. Keep it real. That's what I'm familiar with.
Yeah, that's what the white folks say there because they want to be hip.
Stop.
Say it again for
we are hip.
Stop. Stop the cap, Tank. Shout out to Tim. He says, Tim, he's pointing out the 4th-and-1 pitch out call was a beautiful play. I thought that
gorgeous,
was nice.
Gorgeous.
They put the tight end in motion as the lead blocker. And I always get happy when you see the tight ends or whoever makes a block and they're very excited for their teammate. Because it's like a team thing. Like when you look at some situations, some of your teammates aren't happy for some of your success. That's for bad teams. But like when overall good teams, whether it be linemen or, I saw Calcaterra coming off of the sideline on that block for Miles Sanders. And they were going apeshit and like surrounding him with high fives, like because everybody is locked in on these things. And
on that fourth down that you just talked about, I love the variation of the quarterback run. But I got to tell you, and Hollis, I want to ask you as a guy that played defense in this league, I kind of saw something coming there. That wasn't like the way that we've been setting up these formations for the quarterback run, where you get someone behind the quarterback to push him forward. He wasn't there. There was no one to push the quarterback from behind, and so I kind of was sitting there like, this doesn't look right. did you pick up on anything like that, or did you just
when I saw that, the running back normally comes up and runs and hits him from behind. But hold on, I'm dying here. I need some water. Hold on.
Pause.
there we go. No, the running back normally comes up and hit him from behind. When you saw the motion, you had to know there was some trickery going on. And then how deep the running back was, a little deeper than he normally is. So when that motion came, you had to know there was some tomfoolery going on. But the way the offensive line lined up, you couldn't take no chance. So unless you're just going to run somebody off the edge.
I'm going to be honest with you, Ev. I didn't pay no attention to it. Didn't even realize Miles wasn't behind him. Mm-hmm. All I just had in the back of my mind was, we're going to get this first down regardless.
Yeah.
That's it.
I mean, if you listen to Jason Kelce and Jalen Hurts from their podcast, the whole 92%, 92, it's been pretty real. I mean, the Eagles are
leading. Jason said he made it up.
the Eagles are leading the league in, converting these fourth downs, but they're at about 88%. So
yeah, they're up
there. You got to feel pretty cocky about your short yardage situation when you're the numbers speak words.
I'm glad, but
I was gonna say to better answer what Evan was saying. If I'm a player in there and I've seen this play 1,000 times, I'm not giving a fuck about the motion. If I'm one of the guys on the interior, I'm just not looking. I don't want to be in a highlight reel where they pull out and knock me over and knock me back.
So you're just worried about clogging the hole.
Yeah, clogging the hole, pause. So, but the guys on the edge should have been paying. Like, I feel like I played with the guys I played with, those linebackers and secondary, they would have been all over that shit. Like, Dawkins and Troy Vincent and Bobby Taylor, they would have been all over that shit. As soon as and it's a thing that it's also with the court, with whoever your coordinator is, to prepare you for all that type of things. Because it's like a bunch of stuff that I've seen, like, lately, and everybody's like, man, they did that. That was great. I was like, well, when I was on teams, we always practiced that shit, practiced against that type of stuff. Cause we always had a period where Jim Johnson would throw a bunch of trick plays that he's seen them run and possibly watch college. So it's not like you just haven't seen it. So It's when they did that, somebody, a good defensive coordinator, would have been thinking they might do something to offer this, just because it's been stopped a couple of times. After we was like 100%, 100%, 100%, a few people have stopped it by loading up the middle and stuff. And so a quality defense coordinator would have been thinking. It's like they're gonna run some shit off of this, and that's how you think. You build off of your base. You build a bully, and then when everybody thinks that you're gonna do that all the time, you hit them with different variations. And I'm waiting to see the pass off of that next.
Well, I think that like this is the perfect thing, because we have just been running this QB sneak down people's throats. Pause. But you know, now we have different options. We have different tape now that teams have to adjust for. They have to prepare for. So now, like, we've just refreshed that entire QB sneak play to where teams don't know what to expect.
And it's kind of funny thing too, when you know, because if you know anything about practice time, you don't get a chance to work on everything. And sometimes you have to make concessions to work on stuff like that, because a lot of teams, they just try to work on the meat and potatoes of things all the time. They don't get the other thing. But the other things are what's going to beat you. The other thing, like, they get a trick play, it can go for six. It's like, so you want to work, you kind of want to work on everything and give them give your players a good sample size, so it's not like they've never seen it before.
But don't you think there's also something to the fact that, like, the Giants can prepare for QB sneaks all they want, but ultimately in practice, trying to stop a QB sneak versus Daniel Jones versus trying to stop Jalen Hurts, that's also two different beasts entirely, you know?
Well, yeah, but you have to rely on your guys up front to be able to submarine and knock the offensive linemen off their feet. And then if the quarterback sneak does come, you got to rely on linebackers to come over the top and beat the quarterback. So if you can beat the quarterback, if you get the other guys off their feet and beat the quarterback without a surge, then you did. I stopped a bunch of them in my time. But it's harder to stop it than it is not to, because you still have those little dumbass officials spotting the ball. So even when you stand them up and they go nowhere, it's like, how the hell did the ball get up there?
Now, shout out to Douglas Michael. He says, I loved how great the Texans looked yesterday. Mm. We them boys, they like to say they're them boys, but I think they've ridiculed the Eagles for keeping it close with the Texans, and here they go coming down to the very last minute. I remember I had tweeted out, because Prime's telling me that the Cowboys won. Lost. I was like, because I'm like, they lost. So I tweeted it out. I was like, the Eagles won, the Vikings lost, and the Cowboys lost. All is right with the world. And I'm getting tweets like, Cowboys won, you bozo. And I'm like,
Prime. He gave me the look from hell.
Because I always be like tweeting stuff out, and I always ask Prime, I'm like, we good? Everything good? Spelling good? All right, we're good. So I just listened to him. I'm like, oh, the Cowboys lost?
I was caught up in the moment, man. I'm looking up the scoreboard.
He's screaming out to all the Eagle fans. He's like, there's like thousands of them over there in the section. He's like, Cowboys lost. Cowboys lost. Like, and everyone, it's going through like wildfire. Eagle
fans, man. Like, I will say, as the guy that was sitting there, so, you know, whenever I'm at home, I got the two-screen setup going on. I got the birds on the main TV and red zone on the secondary TV, dude. It that entire time it was looking like the Cowboys were gonna blow that shit, man. It looked like they were gonna blow that shit.
It was like, I know what Prime saw. Prime saw there was 46 seconds left.
Yeah, yeah, that's exactly what it was. I was like,
and the Cowboys is down 23-20.
We walk out the tunnel, and I'm like, oh shit! And then Gail's looking at me like, you know, I just tweeted that shit out. I'm like, all right.
I was over the moon too, man, because I was sitting there thinking, I was just basking in the glory from that Eagles beatdown, and I'm sitting there thinking, I was like, what is the national media going to say? They're going to throw their hands up in the air. I mean, I just saw something earlier this week, prior to this Giants game, that the Cowboys are the favorite to go to the Super Bowl out of the NFC with like,
you just 55, saw, you just 50, saw that, nope.
55%.
They said that last week too, man.
Yeah. And I was going to say, okay, after losing to the Texans, let's see how this number shifts. I really am interested to see that. But yeah, I haven't got a chance to look at the power rankings yet. I'm sure they're not out until tomorrow, but, I hope that they're out of the top 10 after that performance.
No, you know what? I hope not. I honestly hope they are not.
You know, they're not going to be.
Yeah. They're going to still talk these boys up, man.
And they were still – and the crazy part is I'm seeing Cowboys fans yesterday talking on the timeline. Like, they pulled – oh, my God, this comeback by Dak. Are you guys out of your mind? You know who you played, right? The 110-1 Texans? That's what you're pumping your chest about?
And that, and also, you talk about Dak brought them back. Well, they wouldn't have been in that situation had Dak not threw a pick in the red zone.
Right.
And I'm talking about, like, who the hell did he see? I saw the pick. I was like, what the hell was that?
Now, Douglas Michael says, is this the best defense since Buddy, Reggie, and Clyde years? They're dominant.
Let's answer that.
Well, not you can't say that not yet. If they win a title, cool, still. But I don't know if you guys seen any of the footage of what transpired with some of those defenses. As like, I haven't seen, like, I have never, besides the Chicago Bears of 85, I have never seen. It's like the only other one that's come close is when the Baltimore Ravens was all the ones. It's like, what we got now is we have an extremely good defense that I feel like have the ability to be like that. But we keep losing people, reinserting people. As like, you got to look at the way as healthy as those defenses are. We have an extremely good defense, and I feel like it's starting to see the influence of Vic Fangio.
let me ask you guys, just to kind of shift the question up a little bit. Let's not compare it to Eagles defenses of old. Let's compare it to, like, some of the more dominant defenses we've seen in recent years, like the Legion of Boom, the Denver Broncos team that won the Super Bowl with Peyton Manning. Like, those are some strong defenses. Where do you think the Eagles fall in between those two?
Let's see. That Seattle defense was pretty tough in the middle.
The secondary was real strong, but I mean, look at our secondary.
I mean, I'm saying they were hurting people.
Well, I'm talking about when we got CJ too.
I'm trying to work through it mentally. I asked the question. I remember that San Francisco defense was pretty. Yeah.
Defense now is pretty. Is led by former Eagle DeMeco Ryan.
Still not worried.
I just think that overall,
I'm not worried, but I'm just saying that when you look at a defense. Over, especially given the way the rules have changed these days, because you have to look at it like this: when the other defenses are playing, it's running schemes that right now half the dudes that play on defense that play defense now, they wouldn't be on defense
exactly
because you bring those up, double.
You bring those up a double, good point. You yeah, bring up a PB, good point.
Those PB, if you and then it, this is how you know that they wouldn't have been able to fare. Anytime we talk about a top tier team, currently the top tier teams are physical. And when I say physical, you see them running the double, the rub doubles, they go up to the linebacker. You see all that stuff. When you have a team like that, don't give a damn about sacks. Your coverage is covering the slant. You got to stop the run because the one thing that I've learned that will always evolve throughout football is the running game. The running game keeps the clock going, and if you have a lead. And you have a lead. The running game is the entire team's best friend because it gives the defense rest and the ability to come out there fresh to not put the other team back on the sideline, gives your offensive line confidence. The next time you see an argument on the sideline about play calling, and if it's an offensive lineman, run the damn ball, run because when you're running, they can kick somebody's ass. When you're passing, they get guys running at them from every which way. Now passing is cool, and it puts the team on notice, but you still got to stop some people. You got to stop the people from running, and that's the only thing I see that's different from the different eras is they pass a lot more now than they had in the past. But you know, the teams that are more physical, especially around playoff times, end up winning. So.
And just to pity pack off of that, Hollis, is, I mean, Evan, to answer your question on, like, to try to do comparison, it's kind of hard because back in those years, the 80s, early 90s, the rules compared to the way they are now is totally different.
You're allowed to be
More physical play last time, like, on those years. You know,
I mean, look at the roughing the
exactly
now,
the way
yeah.
you mean you back in the illegal, day, you could hit that quarterback however you needed to hit the quarterback to get the sack.
Illegal contact.
Yeah. So all that stuff compared to today's game, I mean, it's kind of hard to do the comparison. I mean, at the end of the day, you got to realize nobody's ever going to be the 85 Bears. Nobody's going to ever be the 90s defense. Nobody's ever going to be a Buddy Ryan. Nobody's ever going to be a Jimmy Johnson. They're all going to come with their own type of strategy, their own type of play. So to do the comparison is really tough, but it's all about giving props where props are due. These guys are playing their asses off. We gave props to the Broncos back in the day. We gave props to the Seattle Seahawks back in the day, the Ravens, you know, San Francisco 49ers. This year, I mean, there's props to be given around the whole league. Mm-hmm. Dallas, us, San Fran. I mean, everybody's playing their defense, but it all matters, again, who's the one that's going to end up hoisting that trophy at the end of the year. You know, that's where it's key at right now. Mm-hmm. So to do the whole comparison thing, it's just a little tough right there.
Well, I know one thing. The Eagles, they lead the NFL with 49 sacks this year, and they have five players with, you know, six-plus sacks. For the first time in franchise history. We talked about Hassan Reddick earlier. He's got 10 sacks. I know Tank was talking about him doing breaking some records there. Brandon Graham, 8.5 sacks. We have Javon Hargrave with 8 sacks. We have Josh Sweat with 7.5 sacks. And we have Fletcher Cox with 6. I mean, the fact that, I mean, if it's possible that all those guys can hit double-digit sacks, it's just a testament to, you know, these guys and how they're playing. And I just think the way that this defensive line has been set up in my Kevin Hart voice, as I say every week, it's amazing. It's a very different type of skill set as you go from the first string to the second string. I wouldn't say second string, like situational guy. You can bring in Brandon Graham anytime you want in certain situations, move inside with the NASCAR package. There's a lot of different skills.
I think it can't be said enough too, just about bringing in Linville Joseph and
Ndamukong Suh.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, those guys, it's completely helped out this defensive line, both with the rotations, just stopping the run game. It's been a game changer.
Yeah, the funniest thing too is like you heard a bunch of people talking about, we just got those guys off the street. I was like, seriously, dude. Nobody's on the streets, and those guys were, and you could tell those guys were working out. But it's like I had to tell somebody one time, like, you think they're in game shape? Nope. It takes a hell of a lot to be in game shape. It's like, no matter who you are, you can work out. You can be what's the point? You can be Lance Armstrong, being able to run ride a bike hundreds of miles. You get your ass on that football field in 3 plays, I guarantee you, you're gonna be doubled over. it's so intense, and the adrenaline rush is so much, and it's a lot different from a lot of times people say, well, I practice game time and practice are two different things, because in practice you get the chance to make concessions, you get a chance to stop and get water. In the game, if that drive keeps going, you keep going. So
when you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
One guy I feel like that has kind of been flying under the radar in this defensive line too, having a good year, is Milton Williams, man. I think Milton Williams has really been balling out this year, and he's just kind of getting lost in the shuffle of all the of all the other names of guys that are popping off. But
I just told you he had 2 sacks last game.
I'm not saying you in particular. I'm just saying among the Eagles fan base, I feel like Milton Williams' name doesn't come up enough when we're talking about how well the defensive line's doing.
Are you trying to be Skip Bayless right now? No, I'm just playing.
All right. Let's go around the room. Let me hear your favorite defensive lineman that we have. Your number one. Like, you're going to have to leave somebody out. You're going to have to say your number one.
I got mine. It's one of my favorite Eagles on the team. It's BG, bro. I mean, BG has been the guy for years. I think that he is making a hell of a I mean, everybody earlier this year was talking about the Geno Smith story. I think BG is making a hell of a statement right now for comeback player of the year. Coming off that injury, he's got 8.5 sacks, considering his age. And not to mention, like, the dude is the heartbeat of the locker room. Like, I consider both him and Jason Kelce as the glue to this team. And, BG is my guy.
Go ahead, Hollis.
I was looking at Prime because the whole line is they're my favorite. I get a chance to hang out with them from time to time, and
you don't want to go ahead. You can't speak on the
wall. He doesn't want to ruin any relationship. I mean, it's like your favorite child.
When I hang out with the guys, they show much respect and love every time I'm there. It's, you know, sometimes they ask me different questions about different ways to handle things, but it's kind of like you said, you don't want to say they're not my kids. I was like, but. I'm kind of like the uncle brother that they're not supposed to hang out with. when I go around them and stuff, I pretty much just talk and chop it up about football and what I like. When I see early in the season, when I saw them, I told everybody to quit fucking standing up And they was like, "What you talking about?" I was like, "The next time y'all watch film, look at the pad level." It's like I can't say who's my favorite. But if I have an affinity for BG, I'm always talking to him. I've talked to Kobe Dean. I talked to Jordan from time to time. And it's just like saying things in passing to him about what I saw in the game. If I see something prominent that I feel like will become a problem like later on in the season, you just hit him with it. Be like, hey, get your pass down. Hey, hand placement. Destroy the blocker. Like I told Jordan Davis, the one difference that I wanted to see with him when he played here was being violent with his hands and getting off blocks and making plays. And I think he's been doing that. So I don't really have a favorite. So I love Marlon. Those are my guys. It's all the way down to Marlon. Marlon's hurt now. I'd be butchering up his last name, but Marlon's hurt now. That was my favorite guy from the time he got drafted. So it's like I go all the way back to Bo Allen. Bo Allen was my young warthog. So
I wouldn't mind getting Marlon's brother on this team either, man.
Yeah, Marlon's really play too. Primo, who you got?
Yeah, it's definitely hard to not go with BG, but ever since you already picked him, you know what I mean, definitely respect because you know he's he's the man of the day, you know, he's the leader. Sorry. But if there's one that really sticks out, I'm gonna go with the hometown, you know, kid Hassan Reddick, man. I think Hassan is playing his ass off. He's definitely.
So you should have went, Gale, because I know that's who you was going with. You should have went.
I was a good follow-up. Go ahead.
Hassan Reddick has been, you know, laying it down, bro. I mean, he's doing his thing. The past few games, he's really stepped up. You know, he's taking control of that line, and you know, it's coming at the perfect time because you know, the one game that I'm really looking forward to in a couple of weeks is where I'm going to need all that at. I mean, he needs to come with all that energy in that game, and I see that it's starting to pick up. I mean, 10 sacks already. Hey, it's nothing but like adding a few more, and we got 5 more games to go. Well, no, I'm sorry, 4 more games to go. So let's do it, bro. I mean, he's on the verge of adding a whole lot more.
Since you guys went a BG and Hassan, I'm just gonna add on just like a man. I love BG when he brings to the table. I was gonna just say. Remark on how official Hassan has been, dude. Like, I talk about that, you know, you set it off. He's like a spark, dude. Like, when he comes in, set the tone, get the quarterback shook. I love what he brings to the table. I love his attitude. I love the whole that he's from the Philly area. He's just got a vibe about him that he assimilated into the locker room fairly quickly, and that says something about his character, says something about his play. But then again, you know, like if we're going to talk about Sweat, I think Sweat coming from what his – you talk about his his accident where they almost had to like take his leg, or the fact that he built himself. He was in a situation in Florida State where they're kind of using him incorrectly, lining up against, you know, like straight up on the offensive lineman. You put him on the edge and let him let loose. You see how he flourished and made him some generational wealth on top of that. Mm-hmm. Those guys are really just balling out. Proud of those dudes. Not my kids, but I'm proud of it.
That sounded like AI right there. It's my little dude.
Got to understand, Tank love the kids.
Kelly brings up something. What was that text message I sent you guys yesterday?
Yeah, I got it. Mark Epps is doing his thing, laying that wood.
He's using the exact same verbiage as I use. I was like, Marcus Epps laying the wood as per usual.
Girl, like Epps is like, you talk about that one play where Cox was in Daniel Jones' face, and then Epps just comes out of nowhere. He's like, all right, I'm going to give you a legal hit. Hits man's in the right in the rib cage area, and he's hurting. You can tell him he's hurting after that play. Epps is just firing on all cylinders.
Epps has had a connect, man. Like on hits. Yeah. He's one of the hardest hitters on his team, bro. I've been saying.
Evan wants to talk shit about what I said about the linebackers at the autism, but doesn't want to give me props on the conversation I had with.
Oh, him, so ever since.
Hey, bro, I've been a Marcus Epps stan all year. What are you talking about?
I didn't say that. I said, give me my goddamn props for having a conversation with him.
Well, I told him
that boy was going to go ahead and do his shit this year.
I want to set up the scene. That was that we were walking at the Eagles Autism Fountain, which you guys should go out there. And support event. The Eagles. Great event.
Great food at the end, too. Yeah. Just want to throw that out
there. Prime walked up onto Marcus Epps and told him, like, look, you know, you hear all this stuff that's being chattered out there, but he's like, yo, we believe in you and, you know, do your thing out there. And it was a very genuine conversation. And the fact that he's doing it, shout out to Wyoming. He's representing, you know, see safeties out of Wyoming make huge effects in the league. As of late,
where did Josh Allen play?
Wyoming.
Safeties. I'm saying safeties.
Where did Quinn Michael play?
Did he play Wyoming?
Boise State.
Yeah, I was gonna say. It's
in Idaho, bro. It's a different state.
Same conference. Same general area. It's like sometimes when you see players, and you just know that they know what to do. They know what to do, how to do it, and when to do it. It's kind of like when Tim Hawk first came here, when I was playing. I know you guys remember Timmy Hawk, the human torpedo. He's coaching now, but when he first came here, I thought he was like one of the athletic trainers. the doctor trainers. And then watching him in practice in the 907 periods we do the run fits and stuff. And seeing him coming down during third period and lowering the dynamite, I was like, "Oh, okay." But he wasn't the fastest. He wasn't the great. He had good hands and stuff. But he was a smart player, and he's always in the right position to lay the wood. So, Marcus Epps, who's got good hands and stuff, I think, and he's got a great understanding of the system because he's been in it for a few years. He's starting to flourish. He's starting to put people on notice, Evan.
Jay says that he's a bad he's a good hitter, bad in coverage. To be honest with you, I think his coverage has improved greatly this year. I think it used to be rougher. I think now it's definitely improved. He's taken a step up in a lot of regards this year.
But what Jay's talking about. It's been a couple of plays where you scratch what's been head scratchers. As far as like his angle to the ball or his positioning on the ball, so that comes with a little bit more time. I think with a little bit more time, he's gonna be just perfect. So, but he's great for what we got going now. What the fuck are you doing?
Gail's getting bored, I guess, and just shuffling people around.
Hollywood Hearn over there. First of all, I want to give a shout out to Philly Sports Trips out here. If you would like to book a trip with them, we got an upcoming trip against
the Chicago
Bears. We talk about if you want to link up with them, hit them up at Philly Sports Trips and f- follow, make sure you follow them at Sports Trips PHL for more information. If you want to see the Nets get trashed by the Philadelphia 76ers, February 11th, 2023, the ultimate bus trip to Brooklyn. And then March 10th, 2023, I think Primo is thinking about going to see a spring training fest down there.
I'm going, damn it.
Are you going too?
Damn, Skippy.
Okay. Okay.
But you can find my t-shirt on Philly Sports Shirts, you know, my damn Skippy t-shirt. I guess I got to get you guys one.
I'm gonna get
one for Evan and sign it. Jonathan Gannon still sucks. Go Vic Fangio.
I'll love it more than I love myself, according to Mark.
I also want to give a shout out to everyone who came by the tailgate. Just shout out to everyone. Shout out to Alex for we talk about next man up with this Philadelphia Eagles team. You know, when your man on the grill goes down with a leg injury.
So wait a minute, y'all just gonna keep talking about this in the Evan face, right?
I've gotten used to being disrespected on this podcast.
I was like, y'all just gonna keep praising this other guy.
I know what, man. If his ass would have went to the goddamn game yesterday, we wouldn't even have to be talking shit about him.
But
I don't even see how we talking shit about him. We're telling him straight up.
You gotta keep praising your side chick in front of the main one, huh? Really? What the hell?
Shout out to Alex,
man. I'm trying to give
shout out Alex out three times.
And I'm trying to shout out to people that made it there, because a lot of people, you know.
Yeah, especially Alex.
Oh, we love Evan. Evan knows we love Evan.
Nice.
You have a funny way of showing it.
Yeah,
man.
You know, I was asking who was begging him to come.
Yeah, I didn't even want to cheat. Hollis. I get the first burger and cheese steak at y'all next tailgate.
I got you, House.
It goes through me to get to whoever.
Shit, don't worry.
Were you over there cutting cheese steaks for Alex?
I was not. Right. I was not.
I think you're lying.
His dad had that all under control. Man. And that's the first thing that came to my mind. I was like, if I go over there, Evan's going to really give me shit.
They're going to, and not only that, it will be really like cheating. Because you were already cheating, but then you just got hit. But then,
Gail's coming to pick the grill up on Saturday, and I was like, "Do you need spatulas too?" I was like, "You know what? Fuck it." I was like, "I'm not giving spatulas up for this. You better show up with the cheese steaks. You better show up with the materials."
Yeah, I was driving all over Pennsylvania on Saturday.
Thank you for handling business, Alex.
You know, shout out to Alex.
It's all in jest.
Yeah, it's all. Well, I could mention it, Alex. Now we're going to move on to something else instead of the rating.
I'm about to move on to dinner, considering we're an hour and 15 minutes into this podcast.
Damn right. I'm already getting a text, by the way. Let's go.
Hey, I want to also give a shout out to College Hawk and Italian Bakery.
Wow.
Who's been holding us down. Holding us down for the last 5 years. Shout out to Bud Light, who's been tremendous. Always supporting us. Any tailgate we do, they're out there supporting us for the last 6 years. So
I like the fade on the end of that too.
We appreciate you guys. We appreciate you from the bottom of our hearts. But while we're here, last word, Evan. lots going on since you've been on the pod, Ev.
I love it. I just want to strap back in, man. I mean, we're riding high after an absolute beatdown against the Giants. I agree with Prime that you know. While they might have gotten some garbage time points, that was an absolute beatdown, man. Yeah. We owned that game from the snap all the way to the last play of the game. But we need to strap back in, man. We need to focus on the next opponent. It's same mentality. It's one round at a time. And let's fucking go kick some bare ass.
Well, yeah, my last word is I'm glad we exercised some of the demons from the Giants fiasco that we had last year. I felt like because a lot of the young guys were a part of that game last year too, and it's kind of like next man up type thing. We're going to be in Chicago, and it's we're looking to be 1-0 coming out of this next week. Obviously, is everybody going to be here Thursday? It's only going to be me here Thursday.
I got to be in the office on Thursday.
I have to move it to Wednesday.
You might have to do it on Wednesday.
I'll be also in the office on Wednesday. If you move it to Friday, That's a possibility.
Okay, we could talk about that.
We'll talk about that yeah, in a little time. And I want to thank everybody for coming out. I was to the 4th and John tailgating and coming out to the Philly Sports Trip tailgate, and for finally helping us take over Giant Stadium or MetLife Stadium. I hate that stadium. And I had just noticed they added the water park in the American Dream Mall right there as well.
I mean, they need to add some entertainment because the football team certainly aren't doing that.
Because it was some Giants fans talking about, I'm going to the water park. that's pretty much it. That's all I got. We're gonna be here Thursday, Friday.
Yeah, shout out to Thursday or Friday. Okay. Prime.
No, I just want to give a shout out to everybody that showed up to the tailgate yesterday. I mean, the weather was definitely not in our favor, but we still made it happen. You know, I mean, like Hollis had mentioned, we took over that stadium and that's what we needed. We made the statement that we've been asking for. They finally came through. You know, we got some pretty decent games coming up. We're talking about Chicago. But after that game is, you know, the game that we really got to focus on, the game that we really want, I personally want. So, you know, we still got some work to do. It's kind of like what Jalen says every day, you know, every week after the game. Yeah, but it's like what Jalen says after every game, you know what I mean? Still got a lot left on the table to go ahead and work on. So let's make it happen. Other than that, enjoy the rest of y'all week. We'll see you on the next one, either for Thursday or Friday. Go Birds.
Following y'all is a tough thing to do. But I just want to thank everyone again for coming out to the tailgate. Want to thank everyone who's been supporting us over the however long. You get to talk to people at tailgates that you've never even met before, but they say they follow and they listen. So we appreciate you guys that tune in. It's going to be a while before the Eagles come back to the link. We're talking about January 1st.
So this they don't get back until next year. Damn.
You're not going to see the Eagles till January 1st. You're talking about a little mini road trip for the Eagles, starting with Chicago. And then who do we have after that?
Well, I mean, we already started. Who do we have after
that? Christmas, yeah. Who do we have after that?
Dallas.
Dallas. Yeah. So it's good. Bitches
in Dallas. We got to go see some bitches in Dallas, and we got to kick them around their turf. So I'm sorry. I'm sorry. That'd be the best Christmas gift that they ever gave me if they go down there and put foot in their ass sideways to the next life. Yeah. I should have said this on my last word. I was tired of the disrespect, but keep disrespecting the squad. I think that fuels their fire. So it pisses me off to no end when they continue to make concessions and talk about other teams who are supposed to be the best teams in the NFL. Right now, we got the best fucking record in the NFL, and we've kicked ass. Everybody that you're talking about, we either kick their ass or we will kick their ass. So it's like, I think I may come to grips with the world not giving us props, and you know, that's just it.
So, just closing it out. No, I forgot what I was going to say because
I don't know. Sorry.
No, I'm just saying, like, if we're going off that, like, at the end of the day, man, who cares what people say outside of this Eagles sphere? Because at the end of the day, the Eagles have to do what they do, and they've been doing it. The standard is the standard, and Jalen keeps setting it. So
this is the new norm.
We're 12-1. Having a lot of fun. See you guys in the next one. And as always, go Birds.
Go Birds.